morning, Rob. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Pretty good.
You're obviously happy with Prince Caspian.
I think it's a fabulous movie. I'm very happy with the way it turned out.
I'm interested in the quote that poorer book but better, or poorer story was it, but better movie?
Yeah, I think the quote is often misinterpreted by people.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that it was a bad book in any way at all. I meant that it was a less rich book in terms of material to make a movie out of, which it is. The story in Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe is told in a very dramatic form to start with, and very relatively easy, therefore, to convert into a film. But the story of Prince Caspian is far more difficult and doesn't really have a lot of the stuff that Lion the Witch had to make it exciting. So, of course, we had to make some fairly significant changes to the way the story presents.
Part of that being the return to the castle, which took me by a bit of surprise. Hey, where did the raid on the castle come from?
But that was an important part of character development for both Caspian and Peter, and, of course, also for Susan and Lucy to a lesser degree.
Yeah.
So we had to have something to establish, A, the relationship, developing relationship between Prince Caspian, the newcomer, and the four Pevensey children who everybody knows and loves from the first movie.
Yeah.
And also the way Peter's character is changing throughout. Having been a king, a high king, in fact, of Narnia for 15 years, he has to go back to school in England and become a kid again. And that really is a bit hard for anybody to take, I'd imagine.
Yes.
So we see how Peter's character has to reemerge as high king in Narnia, and of course he does, and magnificently too.
I suppose it is kind of hard writing that into a... I mean, what is the character's age is about, what, 16, 17 for Peter around that time, isn't it?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Writing into that the depth of knowledge that he would have had as High King Peter back in Narnia days.
Precisely, yeah. And of course also the development of the relationship between him and Caspian, which takes a few knocks in the beginning because Caspian disobeys orders and goes off and does his own thing in the castle with dire results and so on.
Yeah.
So that was an important facet as well. But basically the story of Prince Caspian in the book is four children are dragged back into Narnia 1,300 years after they left. They meet a dwarf. They all sit down around the campfire, and the dwarf tells them a long story about somebody they'd never met called Prince Caspian.
That's right.
And they go for a long walk in the woods, and at the end there's a battle, and that sort of ties it down. I mean, it works very well because of Jack's masterful use of English language on the printed page, but we couldn't do that in a movie, so we had to elaborate a little bit.
Doesn't translate to the celluloid too well, which would be almost the exact opposite with Dawn Treader.
Yeah, the problem with Dawn Treader, of course, is not what to put into it, but what we can afford to take out.
Yeah.
Dawn Treader is so full of great stuff that this is the challenge for us on this one. It's really in some ways more difficult, but I think we're going to wind up with a lovely movie.
That's similar in ways to what Peter Jackson's going through with The Hobbit, in that they're now deciding that it's going to have to be it's got to be two movies because of everything in it. You're not doing that with Dawn Treader, though, are you?
No, I don't think we will. They will stay with the one film.
What would be for you the part that you in Caspian that when you're looking at it you go, I'm so glad that's in there?
Oh, there's a lot of things. There's Lucy's lovely meeting with Aslan in a semi-dreamlike state. We're never quite sure whether it's a dream or reality.
Of course we are. It's reality. Come on, man.
Fair enough. I can't buy that. There's also the lovely sequence, which I adore, which is when poor old Reepicheep gets his tail back. I think that's a beautiful, beautiful sequence.
And very nicely done.
There are lots of little bits and pieces throughout the movie that I love, but I think as a whole, the movie is exceptionally strong and exciting, and I'm very proud of it.
Yeah. I know that you have the power of veto, if I've got that right, over anything going in the movie, and I also know that you haven't exercised that power in either of these two movies. Have you been close?
Well, I don't think I've ever had to. I don't really think a question has come up which has demanded me to put my foot down with a firm hand, if you see what I mean, and say, no, we can't do this, or yes, we should do that, or something like that. It just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been things where Andrew and I have disagreed, things where we've talked things out at great length and come to an agreement in the end, of a compromise or a consensus, depending on who else is involved. But we've never had a head-on confrontation or anything. It just hasn't happened.
And I would doubt whether that would happen with Michael in Dawn Treader.
I don't think so either. Michael's a very easy guy to work with. I mean, he's a very nice bloke and he's a very experienced director. So I don't imagine that would happen either.
Speaking of Andrew and Michael and the change there, how's Andrew going to interact with the Voyage of the Dawn Treader? I mean, obviously he's speaking to us here in New Zealand, but he says he'd be on a beach with a cell phone and expect the occasional phone call.
I think that's probably almost exactly what will happen, actually. I think Andrew really needs to take some time off. I mean, he's been working for us nonstop for about 6 or 7 years now. He's got two little children, two little girls, whom he has rarely ever seen in that time.
Yeah.
So I think he really needs to wind down for a while and just relax, and I wish him joy in it too. I think he's done a magic job.
Is Michael Apted?
We're sorry to lose him, of course, but we don't want to lose him by him going into the funny farm. We want him to stay healthy. So
absolutely.
In a sense, we're glad he's taking a break.
Is Michael Apted a fan of the books?
I think he is, yeah. He is, certainly. It's interesting, on these shoots, we seem to wind up with the nicest people working for us, and it's great. I mean, Michael is a really nice guy. He understands the material, and of course, he understands film. He's been in the business a long time.
There was talk of using the original four children. By the time you get round to doing The Horse and His Boy, that the original children would actually be old enough to play themselves.
Well, there are only three in The Horse and His Boy, of course.
Oh, there are, yes.
Edmund, Lucy, and Susan.
Susan.
And, of course, if they're available and if they're amenable, we'd love to bring them back. There would be nothing better for us than to keep the continuity of casting right through the whole series.
Do you sit there sometimes and think, now, I'd really like this person to direct Silver Chair and I'd like this person to direct Last Battle? And
I have ideas, and I have to bounce them off the rest of my team when they come up and see what we can come up with. You know, certainly I occasionally think about those sorts of things.
Yeah.
But it's a matter of really, I mean, we have to be a little bit sensible, because whether or not we make the rest of the Narnian Chronicles depends entirely on how much support we get from the public for each film as we make it.
Here's me thinking that everyone had signed on board for making all seven.
No, they're not all greenlit by any means. But certainly they have the opportunity to do so, but that depends entirely, again, on public support.
Which we would expect would be high, though.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah. Yeah, really. I didn't notice a Doug Grisham cameo in Caspian.
You missed it.
Did I miss it?
It's there.
It's
there, definitely. I'm not going to give away to anybody where it is. But I'm not only there, I'm visible and I'm audible. You can hear me. I've got about 3 or 4 seconds of dialogue, or monologue in my case. And I'm in costume and I'm carrying a sword and I'm there.
All right. Well, I've only seen it the once now. I'm going to have to keep an eye out for you in the next one.
Yeah, I'll have to go back and take all your friends and see if you can find me.
Oh, we'll definitely take all the friends and see it. So how's Dawn Treader going?
It looks spectacular. I mean, the concept artwork and so forth that we've done is fabulous. And it does seem to be shaping up very beautifully. But, of course, when we start filming, we'll really, the proof of the pudding is in the camera, if you'll excuse me. Sort of mangling a phrase. But we'll soon find out. But it does look great at the moment.
And the filming starts when?
We would hope to be filming about October, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll just send everyone along to see Caspian in the meantime.
Yeah, do that by all means. Yeah. Take all your friends and all your enemies too. You're supposed to love your enemies, remember?
That's the one. Doug, thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you with the next film.
Good on you, Rob. It's nice to talk to you again. Give my regards to New Zealand, and if you get a chance, send me some pineapple lumps.
Oh, can't you get any?
Oh, there's none over here, no. The only place in the world you can get them is New Zealand.
Is that right? I'll see what I can do.
Good on you.
Okay. See ya.
Thanks, mate. Cheers. Bye-bye.